Hello and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. It is my show, The Eric Erickson Show, now nationwide. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. I was supposed to have a new roof put on my house today, but it is, well, rain everywhere. I mean, the weather's just gross here in Middle Georgia. In fact, I'm staring at my radar right now, and more rain is on the way this week. At least the temperatures are down here. But I was on with the fine folks at KRMG in Tulsa, Oklahoma this morning, and they were bragging about their nice weather. It's going to be in the low 80s and no humidity. You know what the temperature is going to be here? Like 90 with 90% humidity. I mean, you walk outside, you're basically walking into a bathtub full of water. It's just gross. Now, I got to point out something my buddy Clayton texted me during the break. You know, in New York now, they've decided that instead of wearing masks, the mayor of New York City does not want people to wear masks. They want you to show proof of vaccine. And they're giving people a vaccine passport. If you want to go into a restaurant or a grocery store, you get your vaccine passport and you can show it to get access to places. You have to have a photo ID to get it. You have to have a photo ID. I thought the Democrats thought a photo ID was racist. That it would suppress people. So, you know, if there's a right to vote, there's a right to travel in the country. The Democrats have well long embraced a right to travel as part of people's constitutional rights. It is in the penumbra of rights in the Constitution. And actually, there is some language in there that does pretty much suggest you have the right in this country to travel between the states and within states. And they say that if you have a right, you shouldn't have to have an ID. Unless it's to buy a gun, then you shouldn't even have that right. But they want you to show a photo ID for your vaccine passport in New York City. Well, what is wrong with this picture? All right. We've got to talk about roads and bridges. The bipartisan infrastructure bill has been revealed. And I love his account, Oilfield Rando on Twitter. He's a great guy, very much great guy. And he's a Second Amendment firearms instructor, has worked on oil fields. And he's been going through the infrastructure legislation. You can follow his account at @oilfield_rando on Twitter. And one of the things that is in this infrastructure bill, and keep in mind, let me explain the way the game is played, is they throw a lot of stuff into the infrastructure legislation that they're hoping people won't catch. And the moment people catch it, they get it out of the infrastructure bill because they're embarrassed enough about it. They don't want you to know it. Let me read for you from page 1068 of the bipartisan infrastructure package. Subject to subsection E and not later than 3 years after the date of enactment of this act, the secretary, that is the Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg, shall issue a final rule prescribing a federal motor vehicle safety standard under Section 30,111 of Title 49 United States Code that requires, requires passenger motor vehicles manufactured after the effective date of that standard to be equipped with advanced drunk and impaired driving prevention technology. To allow sufficient time for manufacturer compliance, the compliance date of the rule issued under subsection C shall be not earlier than 2 years and not more than 3 years after the date on which the rule is issued. This is part of the bipartisan infrastructure legislation that within 3 years of the Secretary of Transportation issuing a rule, new cars will have to have a breathalyzer installed. and your car will not be able to start unless you pass a breathalyzer test. They also, by the way, in the same section, include this. Not later than 2 years after the date of enactment of this act, the Secretary of Transportation, in consultation with the Attorney General and Secretary of Health and Human Services, shall submit to the Committees on Commerce, Science, and Transportation and the Judiciary of the Senate and the Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure and the Judiciary of the House of Representatives and make publicly available on a website a report that describes methods for and contains recommendations with respect to increasing and improving for scientific researchers studying impairment while driving under the influence of marijuana, access to samples and strains of marijuana, and products containing marijuana that are lawfully available to patients and consumers, and establish a national clearinghouse to collect and distribute samples and strains of marijuana for scientific research that include marijuana and products containing marijuana. That's right. They want a report on marijuana, and they want to hand over to the committee samples of weed for the senators, undoubted. But the big one is they want to install breathalyzers in new vehicles, and you will not be able to start your car without passing the breathalyzer test. That's in the legislation on page 1068 of the legislation. Oh, that's not all, friends. That's not all that's there. They also want $250 million for a program to remove invasive plant species. That's infrastructure. They want $50 million for studies on how to tax us more with road uses and per mileage fees. In fact, the Republican Senator, lead Senator Rob Portman, wants to get rid of the gas tax. Wants to get rid of the gas tax. And you're thinking, oh, that's good. What does Rob Portman want to replace it with? He's an outgoing senator, by the way. What does Rob Portman want to replace it with? A tax on your odometer. You will pay a per mile fee based on how much you drive. Now, the reason they want to do this is for electric cars, because electric cars don't pay for gas. So electric cars are driving on the roads and they're not paying the tax to maintain the roads, because that tax comes from the gas tax. But they're not applying the odometer tax to just electric cars. They're not getting rid of the gas tax in the legislation. They say they want to, but they're not getting rid of it. They want to charge you an additional tax on how much you actually drive on the roads. They also want to study people hitting deer. That's right. They want academic researcher to be hired to study people hitting deer in their cars. They want $50 million for 10, quote-unquote, transportation resilience and adaptation centers of excellence that will do climate change reports for disadvantaged communities. They want to upgrade Amtrak train service in Canada. No, I'm not making that up. Not later. This is on page 747 of the legislation. Not later than 1 year after the date of enactment of the act, Amtrak, after consultation with the Secretary of Transportation, the Secretary of Homeland Security, relevant state departments of transportation, Canadian government agencies and entities, and owners of the relevant rail infrastructure and facilities, shall submit a report to the committees regarding enhancing Amtrak passenger rail service between the United States and Canada. Yes, they want upgraded infrastructure to Canada. They want to combat human trafficking. That's apparently infrastructure. They want to promote more female truckers in infrastructure. That's right. Finding women make up 47% of the workforce. Women are significantly underrepresented in the trucking industry. 6.6% of truck drivers, 12.5% of all workers in truck transportation, 8% of freight firm owners. Given the total number of women truck drivers, women are underrepresented. Therefore, and women truck drivers. Wait just a damn minute. Let me review this for you. Women make up 47% of the workforce in the United States. Women are significantly underrepresented in the trucking industry, holding only 24% of all transportation and warehousing jobs and representing only 6.6% of truck drivers, 12.5% of all workers in truck transportation, 8% of freight firm owners. Given the total number of women truck drivers, women are underrepresented in the truck driving industry. Now, keep in mind, they make up 6.6% of truck drivers, but here's the conclusion. Women truck drivers have been shown to be 20% less likely than their male counterparts to be involved in a crash. It is the sense of the Senate that there's, or the Congress rather, that the trucking industry should explore every opportunity to encourage more female truck drivers. So they only represent 6.6% of truck drivers, but they cause fewer accidents than the men. Maybe it's because there are so few of them driving the trucks, but I don't know. They also, Philip, this one's for you. They've got a whole section on sports fishing and recreational boating in the infrastructure legislation. They want $2.5 billion in green energy subsidies for schools and nonprofits. Oh, and there's the Digital Equity Act. That's right, a Digital Equity Act. That's part of infrastructure. $5 billion for low and zero emission school buses. $250 million for electric ferries. Nope, I'm not going there. 87 million barrels of oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Wait, they're selling 87 million barrels of oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve? But I thought because of climate change, they needed to keep it. Why are they selling it? They want $2.6 billion for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. They want $50 million for Utah. $16.3 billion for the Department of Energy Renewable Energy and Efficiency Program. $2.1 billion for carbon dioxide transportation infrastructure. $21.5 billion for clean energy demonstrations. $1 billion for the Appalachian Regional Commission and $150 million for the Delta Regional Authority. That has nothing to do with the Delta variant or Delta Airlines. It's for the Mississippi Delta. $75 million for the Denali Commission. That's to get the Lisa Murkowski vote. $14.2 billion for the Federal Communications Commission. $3.4 billion for the Federal Building Fund. $455 million for fish and wildlife, and it just goes on and on and on and on. It's somewhat ridiculous. This is a little bit silly. Oh, and they also want to spend $250 million to reduce truck emissions at ports and fund $500 million for the Healthy Streets program and $75 million for the Open Challenge and Research Proposal Pilot Program to provide grants for proposals to research needs or challenges identified as important by the Secretary of Transportation. A slush fund for Pete Buttigieg. This is what we're doing here. My favorite, though, just to recap, the geniuses who wrote this piece of legislation would like for your car to come attached with a breathalyzer, and your car will not be allowed to start unless you pass the breathalyzer test. That is actually in the legislation. The bipartisan infrastructure legislation actually contains a provision requiring that all new cars have breathalyzers and your car can't start unless you pass it. This, friends, is your bipartisan infrastructure legislation. What is bipartisanship? It helps to explain this legislation. Every once in a while in Washington, the two parties get together, the evil party and the stupid party. And occasionally they come together and they do something that is both stupid and evil. And that, my friends, is called bipartisanship. And it just came out with an infrastructure plan that is stupid and evil. The unknown came to the workplace in 2020 and things have changed. Everybody's looking to work another house, so they want a great chair. I found a great chair, the X chair. It's at the forefront of home and office settings during this transition. And X chair's newest innovation, the Elimax temperature regulation, will take your sitting comfort to a whole new level. There's a patent pending for the Elimax. It allows you to experience cooling, heating, massage in your lower back while you're working. You're feeling stressed out from the Zoom calls, the Microsoft Teams meetings? Turn on Elimax massage therapy. X chair's patented dynamic variable lumbar DVL support was already the best in class, and now you get Elimax. Imagine regulating your body temperature and getting massage therapy while you're working. It really is a fantastically comfortable, well-designed, well-put-together chair. Go to xchairerik.com right now. That's xchair, E-R-I-C-K.com, or call 1-844-4XCHAIR to save $100 off your order. X-Chair has a 30-day guarantee of complete comfort, and you can finance your purchase for as little as $30 a month. Go to xchairerik.com now or use code XWHEELS for free X-Wheel blade casters. xchairerik.com. It is Eric Erickson here. I'm sorry, I was sending an inappropriate message to friends. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. If you would like to be a part of this here program, you are very welcome to chime in, I suppose, as long as you're like sober on the phone. Y'all would be surprised. When I first started in radio, you know, the Obama phone, it actually was a real thing. It's a government subsidized phone. After 9 p.m., the minutes are free. And Lord, this is why at nighttime you get all the best calls on radio, because it's all a bunch of drunk people calling on their free minutes late at night. It's true. Okay, I promised you this earlier. Robin DiAngelo. Robin DiAngelo is the white grifter who makes white people feel bad about themselves. I read an article recently that the CEO of American Airlines was on a flight reading Robin DiAngelo's White Fragility book, and a stewardess asked him afterwards what he thought of it, and they turned it into a big marketing thing on how American Airlines is woke and one of their employees into diversity training. Robin DiAngelo is a huckster and a grifter and a fraud, and she makes money off of white liberals feeling guilty about themselves. And this, my friends, is Robin DiAngelo in a Zoom call or some such in an interview. Listen to this.
Talk to me about when you first realized you were white and whiteness. Yeah, talk to me about that.
It was a very abstract sense. I honestly believe I was about 34 years old. I was college educated. I was a parent. And someone handed me Peggy McIntosh's article.
Yep.
And I read through that list and I had an out of body experience. I could tell you where I was sitting. I'm not ever going to forget that moment where all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, I'm white. And I felt so loudly white that I remember being hesitant to go outside. I didn't want to go outside because everybody could see that I was white.
Everybody could see that I was white. Oh, my goodness. In 1988, Peggy McIntosh wrote a paper entitled White Privilege and Male Privilege, a personal account of coming to see correspondences through work in women's studies, which contains 46 examples of white privilege. Number 21, I am never asked to speak for all the people of my racial group. Number 24, I can be pretty sure that if I ask to talk to the person in charge, I will be facing a person of my race. Those examples have since been read by countless school kids, among others, as people have gotten indoctrinated. Oh, my goodness gracious. People believe this stuff. And, I don't have time necessarily to drag in all of this stuff. This is the paper that Robin DiAngelo was talking about, that suddenly she saw her stuff as white. As far as I'm reading from the Peggy McIntosh paper. As far as I can see, my Afro-American, isn't it funny? Oh, is she embraced, now we're back to calling people black. But for a while, before it was African-American, it was Afro-American. And that's how she says, as far as I can see, my Afro-American coworkers, friends and acquaintances with whom I come into daily or frequent contact at this particular time, place, and line of work cannot count on most of these conditions. I can, if I wish, arrange to be in the company of people of my race most of the time. I can avoid spending time with people who I am trained to mistrust and who have learned to mistrust my kind or me. If I should need to move, I can be pretty sure of renting or purchasing a home where I can afford and which I would want to live. That's apparently white privilege, folks. No, it's not. The way they use privilege is if you have some unique benefit. It's just, you know, some people are blessed, but there's more to it than that. And a lot of this is crazy stuff. Yes, you can be a part of the program with that number, 877-973-7425. More than welcome to. All right, hang on a second. I got an email from a listener here. You mentioned in the infrastructure bill, a proposal to increase the number of female truck drivers. To increase that number would only lend itself to a dangerous exposure of these women to truck drivers. What will occur with this, along with the wokes allowing truck drivers to identify as the gender of their choice and shower the girls' locker room? Currently, we have women who could be added to these numbers already who support the trucking business. Yeah, I better leave off the rest of this, but this is a point. Why don't we just get the male truck drivers to identify as women? Notice this is a good point here. There's something to this. Congress wants to increase the number of female truck drivers. Notice how actual public policy rarely aligns with woke sentiment. Why do they want to hire truck drivers who are women? Because isn't that a social construct? I mean, if it's a social construct, why are we hiring women? Why aren't we hiring non-binary people? Why aren't we hiring people who express cat and dog gender pronouns? You know, there was this, I don't want to play it because of some of the language in it, but there was a girl on TikTok, it went viral yesterday, who was lecturing people on scoffing at anyone using a dog pronoun or a cat pronoun, and essentially saying that they have a neuro break or some such from humanity, that there are some non-binary, non-cisgendered people who don't identify as human, and so for comfort, they identify with their pets, and so they use dog pronouns, and I don't know what the hell an animal pronoun is, but apparently they have some, and I bet they're male and female. I feel so sorry for my children's generation that they have to navigate this sort of madness. That my kids have to navigate this sort of Gen Z insanity, that you can have a non-masculine, non-feminine pronoun. You can use Z, and you can use H-I-R, which you pronounce here, so it's not confused with her or him. And now you can use cat and dog pronouns. And I don't even know what a cat or a dog pronoun is, and neither do you. You're just making it up. Puppy self. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. That's all I can say. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. People have lost their minds. And now, by the way, Target Corporation, I mentioned Kroger earlier. Target has now announced a new policy. It will no longer sell in its stores any book that may disagree with prevailing orthodoxy from the alphabet game. So in the name of diversity, equity, and inclusion, any book that could cause mental harm to any individual or group of people based on race, gender identity, or sexual orientation shall no longer be sold in their stores. So therefore, a number of books that disagree with transgender orthodoxy in particular is where this comes in. Target is now blocking them, including Abigail Shearer, who's not only a great writer, but highly qualified to write about this topic. They no longer will be allowed to do this. Now, Here's the other thing. We've got in the infrastructure bill now, you've got transportation equity. Transportation equity, where they want more women in, but Christopher Rufo has pointed out they also want to engage in gender-neutral efforts. So they want more women, but they want trucking to be gender-neutral now. So stop talking about your truck in with a masculine pronoun. My wife, do your spouses, do people in your family do this? My wife names all her vehicles. My wife names all her vehicles. Her Explorer, she had a Ford Explorer, and it was masculine. And now she's got an Infiniti hatchback. It's very sporty and has a woman's name. And then my favorite is my wife rides a Harley Fat Boy. My wife loves her motorcycle. And she loves the song Boy Named Sue. And so she has a fat boy named Sue. That is her motorcycle. In fact, her license plate is FB Sue. So yeah, but we got to get rid of all that. That's my wife is apparently a terrible person because she dared to genderize her vehicles. And in genderizing her vehicles, she's a bad person, according to the left these days. And according to Target, you're not supposed to do this sort of stuff. People have lost their minds. You know who else has lost their mind? Joe Biden has lost his mind. The Media Research Center put together this montage. And here's the thing. They ask a question. Imagine the coverage if Donald Trump had said the things that Joe Biden has said with his latest gaffes. Where's the audio here, Media Research Center? What's going on with your audio here? Let's see this.
Whenever the president's a Democrat, the media suddenly lose interest in presidential gaffes. All of the clips you're about to see are from the last 2 months. None of them were discussed or covered on ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, or MSNBC after they happened. First, we've got Biden confusing World War II heroes, the Tuskegee Airmen, with victims of a decades-long human syphilis experiment.
There's a reason why it's been harder to get African Americans initially to get vaccinated, because they used to be an experimented on, the Tuskegee Airmen and others.
At the G7 summit, Biden tried to talk about U.S.-Russia cooperation in Syria, but it came out sounding like this.
We could work together with Russia. For example, in Libya, we can save the lives of people in Libya.
Next up is whatever this is.
The question is whether or not we should be in a position where you are. Why can't the experts say we know that this virus is in fact it's going to be? We know why all the drugs approved are not temporarily approved but permanently approved. Yeah.
Then there's this awful moment from a commencement address.
I love those barrettes in her hair, man. I tell you what. And look at her. She looks like she's 19 years old sitting there with her, like a little lady with her legs crossed.
That poor sign language interpreter. And here he is just flat out making stuff up.
Anyway.
And if we
nice
don't
to
do
drive an 18-wheeler, man.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I wish
oh,
I
yeah.
could.
That's
I
awesome.
Got to.
Do any of these snippets have massive political implications? No, obviously not. And that's not the point. The point is the same media who spent days talking about this tweet now completely ignore stuff like this.
Are there people in the Republican Party who think we're sucking the blood out of kids?
I'm not sure.
The story here isn't the bumbling old guy. It's about the media who are doing everything that they can to cover for him.
Yes. And the tweet in question that the media spent days on, I bet you can guess it, the Covfefe tweet, where President Trump said, despite the negative press, Covfefe instead of coverage. Covfefe. And it stayed up for a long time and the media covered it nonstop. And yet they won't cover the Biden gaffes. Now, listen, I mentioned to you the other day, it is an open secret in Washington, D.C. that Joe Biden has lost his edge. You're not saying anything out of turn, although you'll get condemned for pointing out that Joe Biden has lost his edge, that Joe Biden, he gets confused. He slowed down. The Joe Biden of today is not the Joe Biden of 4 years ago or the Joe Biden of 8 years ago. Joe Biden is showing his age. This doesn't mean he's not in charge. You talk to anyone in the White House, anyone in Congress, Democrat or Republican, outside of the partisan talking points, they'll tell you, yeah, at the end of the day, the buck stops with Joe Biden. It's not Kamala Harris in charge, it's Joe. But they will also tell you that his staff is way more insular and way more likely to put a bubble around him and guard what gets to him because he has slowed down. But you never got that. You never got that in the press coverage of Donald Trump. Everything about Donald Trump was always, he's not in charge. Maybe we need the 25th Amendment. Something's going on here. Something's wrong. They themselves did everything possible to protect Joe Biden while condemning Donald Trump for the same things. There's clearly something going on with Joe Biden, and it is his age, and everybody knows it, and you get attacked for saying it. But it's worth pointing out that the Joe Biden of today is a gaffe machine, not like the Joe Biden of yesteryears, where he would say things that were kind of cringeworthy. The Joe Biden today, he just makes no sense. It's not even word salad. Oh, but he, you know, he's got a speech. But, you know, I used to stutter too when I was a kid. And Joe Biden, known stutterer, but that seems to be what they're saying. Oh, well, when he does this word salad stuff, it's just he's stuttering. No, that's not stuttering. That is an old man grasping for words. He's not tripping over the words. He's having a hard time summoning the words. That's different. That's not stuttering. And yet the media does everything they can to avoid pointing it out because they're super protective of Joe. Now, there's something else Joe Biden has said that we need to focus some attention on.
In all probability, by the way, we had a good day yesterday. Almost 1 million people got vaccinated. About 500,000 of those people for the first time with our second shot. And so I'm hopeful that people are beginning to realize how essential it is.
More restrictions coming. More restrictions coming. Not only that, Randy Weingarten, the American Federation of Teachers Union president, who says they don't want teachers to have vaccines. That the union, the teachers union, has come out against vaccines for teachers, is now saying, you like that school, don't you? It'd be a shame if you couldn't keep it open.
You see the benefit of students masking going forward as the school year opens.
Exactly. So that's why the next question about will they stay open, that's where we worry, because when you have lots of kids, particularly every child under 12 has not been vaccinated.
Yeah.
We see the Delta variant being very transmissible. And so that's why what masks do is masks stop transmission. So universal masking is going to be very helpful to keep kids safe, to keep the unvaccinated safe, and to keep schools open. Because you saw it from some of your reporting already, that you're already seeing some quarantining in places that thought they were going to open today. So school opening is really important.
Oh, you got that? We may have to shut the schools down again. We don't want the teachers to be vaccinated, but every kid better wear a mask or else. This is just fear tactics from the teachers unions, and that's super irresponsible. But this is where we're headed, folks. The teachers union, it's only a matter of time before they try to shut the schools down again, undermine Democrats in the process, which isn't a bad thing. You know, you got the Virginia governor's race coming up in two and a half months, and it's going to be interesting to see there. People are spitting mad about the teachers unions in Virginia at this point. Now, at this point, you need to go to EdenPureDeals.com and order your Eden Pure Air Purifier and purify the air in your house. Folks, it gets rid of odors. It eliminates odors, pet odors, tobacco odors, the fishy fry odors in your kitchen. It does that. It also helps with mold spores floating around your house. It helps you with your allergies. I know from my house, between the allergies and the fishy fry odors in the kitchen, it really works. And you can get three of them and save $200 right now. What you do is you go to EdenPureDeals.com, the website, EdenPureDeals.com. Eden, like the Garden of Eden, pure as the driven snow, deals, EdenPureDeals.com. You'll see my name on the front page, Eric Erickson. You click it. And you'll see, save $200, get three, save $200. One for the basement, one for the first floor, one for the second floor, maybe one for your RV if you go out camping a lot. Eliminate the odors. When you check out, you use a particular discount code. You got to press the orange checkout button, and then you'll see a discount code. If you're on a desktop over on the right-hand side or down, scroll down if you're on mobile. And you'll see the discount code, and you put in Eric3, Eric and the number 3, E-R-I-C-K-3. Eric 3, and you can save $200 on the Eden Pure Thunderstorms, three of them. It is a great deal, a great product from Eden Pure, EdenPureDeals.com, discount code Eric and the number 3, no space, just Eric 3. Y'all, I'm sorry, I got to play this for you. ouch. So let me set the stage here for you. This is the head of the University of Texas system is testifying before the Texas Senate, and Senator Kolkhorst is asking questions of the head of the University of Texas at Austin over moving the University of Texas into the SEC along with Oklahoma. You need to understand the University of Texas football team is not good.
But what's your athletic budget?
It's over $200 million. It's probably $220, $225 in that range.
Where does that put you in the U.S.?
Depending on how you count, probably first.
And that's without a winning football team of late.
It's in spite of our football team. We've been winning, just not like we like to win.
3-7 against the Horned Frogs. maybe your fan base would rather lose to Alabama than TCU. So.
Ouch. Ouch, ouch. It's the people in Texas, they're not necessarily fans of this. I'm totally fine with putting all these teams in the SEC, another Texas team to beat. I'm fine with that. But that's pretty brutal. Okay, I'm going to leave y'all with a story here because I am thoroughly fascinated with space. And one of the things that just it genuinely has amazed me since I was a kid, that without ever having gone into space and without ever really peering through telescopes and seeing the universe, in 1916, Albert Einstein came up with the theory of relativity. And he continues to be proven right. He saw it all in his head. Astronomers for the very first time have now seen light from behind a black hole. What Einstein theorized is that gravity, because of the force of gravity, it could bend light. And you can't see light from behind a black hole because a black hole absorbs everything, except a black hole becomes so gravity dense, it becomes such a dense mass that it has the power to bend light around it far enough away as light sails past. And scientists have finally been able to see this using a space telescope. They've observed a black hole as it flung X-rays out into the universe. It's 10 million times more massive than the sun. It's located at the center of a nearby spiral galaxy, 1,800 million light years away from Earth. And after seeing the flares of the X-rays, which is not uncommon, they saw something that is unprecedented, flashes that were smaller and different colors than the predecessors, meaning it couldn't have been X-rays. It was light from an object on the other side behind the galaxy that we can't actually see, except it been around the black hole. That's the only way to have seen the light as the way it came. The gravitational forces are so strong, light can't escape it, but light can echo around the back of it. Albert Einstein, without ever having been in space, without ever having a space telescope, without ever spending a lot of time staring into telescopes, in 1916, came up with the theory of relativity and how light would respond to space, time, and gravity. And is all these years later continuing to be proven right about it. I'm just fascinated by the mind of Albert Einstein. And yet again, another observation that proves him right. It's just amazing.